Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another very special Lazarus Pit episode here on the Heroes for Hire podcast. Now, this is normally just a Patreon-exclusive episode, but because it's Christmas, we're releasing it to everyone. This is Heroes for Hire. I am joined, as always, by my best pal, Mr. Shaw Meehan. Shaw, what's going on?
I'm not much, Connor. Happy Christmas to you and everyone.
So what we decided to do was every single month we do a movie review over on the Patreon. And we decided, because we had a little bit of a hangout already this month with all the listeners and all the patrons, it might be nice just to release our Christmas review, which is we do once a year, obviously. It'd be weird if we did it in July. Well, just on a Movie Mondays episode.
This is the thing. So this is what, like, this kind of format, it's what all of the Patreon reviews are like. Usually they're on movies, I will say, that are a lot worse than this one. Yeah. Any Power Rangers Turbo fans in the audience?
So we put up a vote during the week and we were like, everyone vote for what movie you would like us to review. Now, I did put up some heavy haters up there, Sean, is what I will admit.
Some All of the Other Reindeers, perhaps.
I actually didn't put up All of the Other Reindeers.
I put up
Home Alone, I put up Die Hard, I put up A Muppet's Christmas Carol, I put up The Santa Claus.
Ooh.
And I think I put up the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special.
They're all so pretty elite, those options. But this one out.
It was a very tight vote, is what I will say. One vote was between the Guardian special and this. This came out on top at the very last second. So we are reviewing The Muppets Christmas Carol, Sean.
My God. A film which up until last year I had not seen.
Which still blows my mind, because, I mean, this is proper elite stuff, Sean.
Oh, it's top tier. I will say, it's fantastic. But I'm saying that without the benefits of nostalgia, okay?
Yeah.
This movie meant nothing to me going in, and I still adore it.
And it still doesn't. I hate it.
It doesn't miss.
This is also a massive difference from last year, where we were forced, from the patrons again, they're also bastards, to make us review Jingle All The Way.
Did they give us last year the 1-2 punch of Jingle All The Way in December, and then not too long after we did Wild Mountain Time?
No, that was February. Yeah, no. Look, we're not saying they're good people. We're just saying they're there.
We're just saying they're dedicated to whatever they want to be.
They support us, so we have to like them. But at the same time, they like to see us suffer. But Sean, they were kind this year. So where would you like to begin with this movie? Now, it's a movie that a lot of people think is like their favourite Christmas movie like ever,
yeah.
I would say. And I would be one to say, I agree. I think it's the best Christmas movie.
It's the best Christmas Carol adaptation, I think.
By
extension, I suppose. And yeah, but it's just, it's not all, because it's not like they take the piss out of it at all. it's played fully serious for the most part.
Why it works is because, like, Michael Caine, who is in this movie, I don't know if you know, is that he told the producer and director Brian Henson before production that he said, this is his exact quote, "I'm going to play this movie like I'm working with the Royal Shakespeare Company."
See, that's perfect. That's ideal. That's what you want. Like,
and Michael Caine, I don't know. Look, I don't want to insult the man, but I think this might be his best performance of all time.
I genuinely think, like, it's one top of the three examples you would use. Like, if you didn't know this man was acting against Muppets, you'd think he's in the best Christmas Carol adaptation that's ever been.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy that, and like when you see the behind the scenes of how they did it. So some of the scenes say when you see Scrooge walking through the streets, that's literally like he has a 4-foot plank of wood that he's walking on. They have the camera set low, looking up to him because he's meant to be evil. Mm-hmm. But all the puppets are there, like all the Muppets are either side of him. But there's a massive hole, like a trench, that all the people controlling all the puppets are in, and yeah, they're like popping out of the trench as he walks past.
And like that's a limitation on set design, but it still looks really interesting. And like,
yeah,
it doesn't look like a flat, you know, like a backdrop and then just something for the performers to hide under. It looks like an actual lived-in London street. Also, I saw a video from one of the costume designers on this, and apparently these are like the most accurate period costumes that have ever been like put to
it
film.
Goes way harder than it has any need to go.
There's so much love and care put into every fucking bit of this movie.
Like, there was no need. Now, sadly, obviously, Jim Henson passed away just before this started filming.
Yeah.
And so Jim Henson's death was like obviously incredibly sad when it came to the Muppets and everything around that. Brian Henson is the director for this movie.
His son.
Yeah. And he's the director for this movie. And this is his first movie he ever directed. And apparently, halfway through the production, Michael Caine and him are just chatting. And he just mentions, "This is my first movie that I've ever done." And Michael Caine looked at him and apparently was incredibly impressed.
like how this kid are you is doing literally this? Just built different. Like.
And so it's kind of like when they're talking about Tiny Tim and all that, it's a bit of like, it's in memory of him as well. That,
yeah,
of course, he passed away.
Which is really sweet. And it opens, I think, with a dedication to Jim Henson, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And Richard Hood as well.
Yeah.
So the two of them both passed away. They also performed a lot of the characters. And so, like, I think it's an absolutely lovely tribute. And also, with Brian coming in, this is like his first big fucking... This is his big break. This is his big thing. He comes in and makes a splash that the movie's still talked about now on its 30-year anniversary, which is kind of perfect that we're talking about it now.
Yeah, like in 1992, and it's still, even some of the like ropey effects and stuff of like green screens and chroma keys and that, it's still charming enough that it just works.
Well, a lot of the CGI, Sean, they actually use, this is the first time they ever use CGI to take the people out from the shot.
This is something, yeah, because there's a scene early on where Kermit is ice skating around, and I remember being like, I've never seen Kermit's legs before.
Yeah.
Like, and that makes total sense if they just erase the performers around.
So the
them.
Guy is controlling Kermit, and there's like the walking scene when he's walking along the street and you see his legs. Like, the guy is controlling him, and then it's all in front of a massive green screen, and then they take him away. And then they just have Kermit left. And, like, it's, to be honest, it's fucking seamless for 1992. Like, it looks incredibly good.
Yeah, like, I don't know who sold their soul to get those effects done, but, like, it's Jurassic Park level of good effects.
Well, do you want to know the budget?
But is it something ridiculously low? Because I would put it at, like...
Yes.
Oh, no, okay, so...
See, no, but wait, if you go too low, you're going to make it sound bad.
Okay, like 20 million.
12. It was 12 million.
Fuck.
They made the whole thing for 12 million.
That's insane. You wouldn't make an episode of, like, Law and Order for 12 million.
Yeah. Yeah. It only made 27 million. in the box office.
Really?
And would you like to know why? Is because it came out at the exact same time, on the exact same week of Christmas 1992 as Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
So it just got fucking steamrolled.
And like Home Alone 1 was, I mean, the biggest Christmas movie at that point. Like this, that was the movie.
Yeah.
And this was number 2. And he was coming back to kill some fucking wet bandits. And everybody was going to see it.
And this poor little Muppets movie just got done by the wayside.
And it wasn't even that the Muppets are bad. It's just literally bad timing. You come out the same week as possibly the biggest Christmas sequel.
Yeah,
of all
like
time.
92, you're probably like, if you're going to a movie around Christmas, you're going to one movie around Christmas.
Yes.
And then that's it.
Another good fact about the movie is that Michael Caine actually actively pursued the role of Ebenezer Scrooge in this movie. So what happened was, they used to obviously shoot the Muppet Show in the 70s.
Yes.
And this was shot in the UK, but Michael Caine was living in the US at the time. However, some of his friends, Sir Roger Moore, John Cleese, Peter Sellers, Sylvester Stallone, over the years, they had been like, the Muppets are fucking great crack. Like, that is some of the best fun you're going to have on set, just doing that stuff. And because he was in the US at the time, he felt like he missed out. And then he moved back to the UK in like the late 80s. And so this is just around 1990, 1991. And he had come back in, then he heard that this was greenlit in 91, that they were doing a Muppets Christmas Carol. And he was like, he came to the studios, he went to the film studio with his agent, and they just badgered Jim Henson Productions.
Like, I want to do it. Let me do it. Let me in the door.
Until they agreed to meet with him.
That's hilarious. I can't imagine anyone else in the role, though, is the thing.
I think it's a much worse movie with anyone else in that role.
Yeah, like you could get a great actor to do it.
Yeah.
But like it would still be a worse movie.
Jared Leto, for instance.
In the 90s, he was doing Fight Club nearly in a few years.
In 99, yes.
Yeah, that's the one. Even if you got like a, I don't know, like a Christopher Lloyd.
Al Pacino.
Robert De Niro. Actually, that would go hard as fuck. That would be class.
But like anyone else, I don't think they buy into it as much. I think they're aware that they're in a Muppet movie.
Yeah, and there's something about it being, you know, acclaimed theatre actor Michael Caine playing the role that it gives a level of credibility to the Muppets.
I mean, it's just genuinely one. I think it's my favourite Christmas movie. I don't know where it ranks for you. I mean,
it's
you
like
have Olive the Other Reindeer.
Olive the Other Reindeer up top, probably Home Alone. And then The Grinch. And then somewhere in there. It's top five. It's top five Christmas movies.
That's tough. It's tough times. So where would you like to begin with this movie? Is there any particular
scenes? I think we've
said
all there is to say, to be honest, Connor. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Is there any particular scenes that stood out to you that like you're like, fuck me, that is so good?
I will say, the best song in the movie is Marley and Marley.
Yes!
Yeah.
Yes, it is!
It's also weirdly dark. This whole movie is dark as fuck, by the way.
So, like, it's completely gothic.
Yeah.
It's a gothic Christmas carol. I remember watching the Marley and Marley scene when I was, like, I don't know, like 7.
Yeah.
And I remember being terrified. I would always skip that scene when we watch it. I would, like, fast forward it because I was just scared of Marley and Marley.
It's ruining Christmas. But, it's the scene where they tell him, like, oh, we sinned in our past lives and now we wear these chains. And then they get dragged to hell at the end of it.
Fucking dragged to hell. And like, it's a kid's movie.
And it's like, it's Statler and Waldorf who are, like, usually the ultimate comic relief. But it's just this really heavy scene. And Michael Caine is terrified.
And, like, the whole scene is shot like a horror movie. Like, it's with him sitting in the chair by himself and the bell just starts ringing randomly.
Yeah, the fire goes out.
The fire goes out. And it's just shot like literally Scream is about to come around the corner and stab him. That, like, there's something going on that Michael Myers is somewhere around that's about to get him.
Yeah. And then, I will say all the songs in this are really, really good.
Yeah.
I think there is an album of just the songs from A Muppet's Christmas Carol. And it's...
And
perfect Christmas listen.
Oh, like, it's so good. Like, just the songs themselves. Speaking of songs, there is... Did you watch the extended version or did you watch the normal version?
I watched the extended version.
Interesting.
Is that the better version? I don't know.
It's just the one extra song. That's literally it.
Right. Which song is extra then?
So the extra song is the song, the breakup song with him and his love.
Yeah, his lost love from his youth.
Belle, I think her name is. The song is When Love Is Gone. And apparently what happened is they shot the whole movie and they shot that scene with that song in it. It's all good. They're about to release it. And just before it gets a theatrical release, the request of Disney chairman at the time, Jeffrey Katzenberg, who considered the song too sad for young children to ever listen to because it was so heartbreaking,
it
the
is.
Song.
It is a heartbreaking song.
He decided last minute, like a week before they released it, that he was like, take it out. And Brian Hansen's like, well, how am I meant to take it? Just take it out. And so if you watch the the edited version, it's like they break up and they're in the field with all the snow and everything. They decide to break up and then there's a hard cut and then it comes back to Gizmo. Rizzo the Rat. And they're just like, and they're crying.
Ah, okay. I think I've seen that version on TV. That might be
The TV version. So that is the version that is released everywhere. And they literally there was no version of that song in any of the productions until this year, I think. Until this year it was updated.
Okay, that must be the one I watched then. Because I definitely saw that. That's a good song as well. Very sad.
Apparently, the only way they found it was they found the negatives of the scene from 1991 that they shot it. Brian Henson found them and then they re-edited it and then they put it back into the cut. But it had been missing for 30 or 28 years or whatever.
That's huge. Because usually if something's gone that long, it's just considered lost media. Like it just doesn't exist. So that's huge that they found it.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. It was going to be reinstated for the 30th anniversary in 2022, which is now. I think literally December this year is the first time it's ever been put back in on any streaming service.
Excellent. Well, yeah, because it is on, I'd forget, it was Prime or Netflix, but yeah, it's on it anyway. Also, I just want to say, just while we're on the Christmas past section of the movie.
With the child, yeah.
Yeah, that spirit is the most unsettling thing I've ever seen.
Fucking creepy.
It's weird. It's like this weird porcelain China doll with like flowy capes about it.
Do you know how they made it?
No.
So the Ghost of Christmas Past, their effects were created by, they basically made a special puppet that was operated in a tank of water and then green screened into the movie to make it look like it was floating. So they put a puppet
in
water.
That's really clever. That's like, I love that kind of problem solving because you had to do that in the 90s because you couldn't.
They had a budget of 12 million.
Yeah, they could afford water. Like.
Yeah. Like, we have a tap. That's all we have.
No, it was rain, I'd say.
They had to wait for weeks. Just sitting outside. So, yeah, they got a puppet and they put it into a tank of water so we start flowing. And they put like a blanket over it. So that's why the flowing movement is there with the ghost. And then they green screen that into the movie.
That's really cool. It is really creepy, but now knowing how it's made, it's really interesting as well.
It does look like the face is dead. It's clearly a puppet in the face.
Yeah, but it's not as like, because you're used to like, in this world, all of the puppets are really charming Muppet designs.
Yeah, that's like that's like a cyber robot kind of vibe.
Yeah, it looks like something out of Ghost in the Shell or some shit like that.
Or Westworld, but like bad Westworld.
The bad Westworld. And then the Ghost of Christmas Present. I love how they did that character. Like
I think that's you.
Do you know what? I think it might be. He's just out for a good time. Yeah, good time, not a long time.
I think so. He's the head of you.
He's the fucking stamp of you, buddy.
Like, you stick ginger hair on your head, lad. That is you.
Man, I gotta try that someday. That'll be my Christmas costume.
Oh, man. I think you could pull it off. At Halloween, if you dressed up as that, you could actually pull it off.
But everyone would just think I'm like Hagrid or some shit.
That is true, yeah. You'd have to be very specific towards this movie. I think... The main strength of this is, like, it sticks so close to the source material that, like, it's played as... I think, like, it has, like, the most literal lines from the actual story that any other adaption would ever try to.
Yeah, and you have, like, you have Gonzo, who's, like...
Who's Charles Dickens.
Who's Charles Dickens. Basically, he knows the audience exists. And he's talking to us and telling us this story.
But he's saying word for word what's in the book.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, and if you did a kid's movie now, he wouldn't... He'd judge it up.
He'd millennialise it.
He'd TikTokify it just to get them involved.
That's a horrible image you just put in my head. But yes, they would.
but I think it works because Gonzo is Charles Dickens and then Rizzo is like us. And he's like, what the hell are you talking about?
But he even says that it's Rizzo the Rat playing himself.
Yeah. Oh, but actually, the credits always make me fucking laugh because they're just like Miss Piggy playing, like Miss Piggy's an actual human playing somebody else. I'm like, fuck, what an actress. Fucking, my God.
You nailed it, lads. You nailed it. Do you know what I've still not seen as well, just while we're on this? Muppets Treasure Island.
What?
Never. Sorry. I've never watched the pirate Muppets, Connor.
Sean.
Yeah.
Sean.
Yeah.
Sean, we know two things about you. One, you look like the ghost of Christmas Present. That's what we all know. Two, you love pirates.
I do.
I was going to say puppets, not puppets. Yeah. Pirates.
Pirates, definitely. Puppets,
pirates. Pirates is your big thing.
Pirates is my jam.
Sean, genuinely, Treasure Island is a fucking amazing movie.
Is it as good as Christmas Carol?
Yes.
Holy shit. Okay.
I know that's big, but I would say as a movie, it's better. But like Christmas movie, I think Muppets Christmas Carol, obviously better. But like if you're just sitting down to watch a movie in February, Treasure Island is there for the rest of the 11 months.
Well, I think I know what's going in the Lazarus Pit for February of next year.
It's so good. If anyone's seen it, it's like the big wet thing, or the big blue wet thing, and like, someone's like, the sea? That's a reference you don't get.
No, I know Tim Curry's in it, that's about it.
he's like Tim Currying it up, you know what I mean?
Just chewing scenery the whole time.
Oh, chewing the whole scenery, man.
Okay, it's on the list.
So the movie starts, and I mean, if you've read any of the Charles Dickens story, it starts, Scrooge, he's evil.
Scrooge is a prick.
He's a prick, and everyone knows he's a prick, and all the songs are about him being a prick.
Yes.
And even the song, like, the jokes at the start of, like, the cabbage being like, oh no, I'm being kidnapped. It's like, great. And then him walking through the street, all camera angles are up. Because he's towering over everyone. And then by the end of the movie, the camera is at the same level as Kermit. Yeah. So he's
comes
joined
down to
them.
Meet him. They're all equal now, and they're all friends.
Yeah. And so, like, when he's walking through that little street, like, it's a really great intro. Just as, like, just through a song, and it's a really catchy song. You've introduced the character. He's a bastard. This is the deal. Everyone hates him. Literally nobody likes him in this whole town. Some of the choir singers are like, maybe he's nice. And they're like, nah, he's fucking, he's the worst.
Maybe something terrible happened to him. No, he's just miserable.
He's just miserable. And then we have our first like talking scene with him and Kermit in
Bob Cratchit.
In the office.
Come on now, Connor.
Sorry. That's disrespectful. Bob Cratchit. And I mean, there's some really funny bits in this whole scene where, like, my favourite is the one where, like, they were just looking for some extra coal to put on the fire. And he's like, it's warm enough as it is. And then it cuts back and all, like, the mice all have hulas on. And they're, like, singing songs because they're like, oh, it's so warm, actually. Yeah, no, you're dead right. Because every time he screams, they, like, shit themselves.
So they just want to placate him and just be like, yeah, no, you're right, Mr. Scrooge. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, the main thing I wanted to talk on was the music. That was, like, I think that's one of its... If the songs are bad in this, I think this movie's terrible.
Yeah, yeah, because it's not a musical, but the songs really help to get a lot of emotion across and get you from A to B. So if every time a song comes on, you're like, oh, fuck, another one of these. It's a much worse movie. But all of the songs could actually be proper Christmas songs just released independently.
And really catchy.
Movie. Yeah.
Like really catchy.
Super catchy. Super duper catchy. The first one, I don't know the title of any of it, but the one that's like, there goes Mr. Skinflint. That's the best way to introduce Scrooge. True song.
Here come Mr. Humbug. Here come Mr. Scrooge.
Yeah, if he was a flavour, he'd be sour and all this kind of shit.
And then someone's like, even the vegetables don't like him.
Yeah.
One of my favourite characters in this movie is the small little, what animal is he? The guy who's the caroler that he shouts at the end, like, you there, boy, what day is it?
Oh, I have no clue what that thing is. But
it's so funny when he's like caroling. And he's just like, a penny for the song? And then he walks away and the door opens back up. And there's that moment where he's like, oh, maybe he's changed his mind. He just fucks the fucking reed at him and just knocks him out.
Yeah, and it's a good toss as well that he gives. Like, it's from the door.
It's just, for some reason, that character always makes me laugh. It's just such a small part, but just it's just quite funny. And so then eventually his nephew shows up and you figure out that his nephew's full of life, loves Christmas. Scrooge, not so much, Sean. He's not a big fan of it.
No. And so he's like, keep your Christmas. I won't come to your Christmas. Your family's all shit.
I am your family, but they're all shit, just to let you know.
That nephew is just the nicest dude.
Scrooge is like, literally, I fucking hate you and everything to do
alone.
With you. Like, I wish you died. Every second of every day, I wish you were dead. Your man's like, I hope you have a lovely day too, uncle. Yes.
Yeah, because he's just, and his argument is like, well, look, he has no one. So I'm at least going to try. Even if he says no every time, I'm going to try.
And he invites him to Christmas dinner and Scrooge is like, no, go fuck yourself. And he's like, well, I tried. And then he gives money to charity because the two guys show up and they're just like, do you have any money for charity? And Scrooge is like, absolutely not. Go fuck yourself.
Let the poor die and decrease the surplus population. The hardest line in existence.
That's what he says. They've come in strong to be like, Scrooge, not a nice bloke.
No.
Not a nice bloke. He's got a picture of him with sunglasses on Twitter in a car. That's his profile image.
It's just the car is the profile image.
It's just the car. And a dead body.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So then they also have the... So Kermit is basically left there by himself because Scrooge leaves. Mm-hmm. And then you have the little song of One More Sleep Till Christmas, which...
Great song.
Once again... Great song.
Also, the ability for Tiny Tim to just break my heart every fucking time.
I'll tell you something. Tiny Tim is incredibly sad and heartbreaking for a fucking frog that's not real.
What's that frog's name as well in the Muppet's name? Is it Oscar or something? No, hang on. Kermit nephew, right?
Kermit's son.
Kermit.
But not the good one, the sick one.
Who is Kermit's nephew? Robin, that's his name. He's a little, cute little frog boy. And he breaks my heart every time he's on screen.
He's so ill.
He's fully dead by the end of this movie, surely.
Like, he actually does die.
Like, there's an empty seat where Tiny Tim used to sit and everyone's heartbroken and we see that and they're all Muppets.
And he's so thankful to be alive and he's just so nice.
He's happy. Every breath that boy takes is a fucking gift from the universe.
I'd give him my breath, Sean. I was watching it going, I'll give you my life.
You can have my years, please. You'll do better with them. And even Bob Cratchit, his dad, is just like, oh, we should thank Mr. Scrooge because he gives me a job. And any money I get is from him. He's like, be thankful for what you have. As the kid is like on death's door every goddamn second. To the point where at the end of this movie, Gonzo is just like, and Tiny Tim, who did not die.
Well, you had to throw that in because I was still heartbroken. I was like, if he's dying, I'm dying too on the inside.
Imagine if the one deviation that this movie made from the source material is that Tiny Tim dies anyway.
There's a scene where Michael Caine takes a big run up and just kicks him over the fucking building.
Just fucking yeets him across Victorian London.
Fucking NFL punts him fucking 40 yards.
Straight into a chimney. You see all the coal scuttle as he falls down it.
Well, look, he was dying anyway. It's actually put them out of his misery,
that's
really.
It. I'm decreasing the surplus population, if look, you don't forget.
Bob, give me a high five. Yeah.
Bob? High five, you're fired. And he would do it anyway. Oh, no.
And so then Scrooge goes home and he gets met with the Marley and Marley song, which I think is the best scene in the whole movie.
It's class. It's so good.
It's just them getting dragged to hell and shouting Marley and Marley and all the chains. And it's just shot so well.
It is. And like the chains start wrapping around him and he's fucking terrified the whole
time.
Would
be.
Like I don't, I'm hesitant to get into like, because are we can just describe the plot of A Christmas Carol if no yeah. one knows what that is, because this movie follows it like to a T,
to the letter. It just has Muppets in it. It's a really good rendition of the story. It just so happens one of the characters is Miss Piggy.
Yeah, because but it doesn't feel like dumbed down at all.
No. That's what I'm saying. Like, Gonzo says the whole story, like, word for word.
It's just, I can't believe this got made. I can't believe it made no money, like, comparatively to what it would make now.
But I think since people are like, this is such a good movie. Like, anyone who's seen it is like, this is such a good Christmas movie.
And it's, yeah, and everyone can, like, my granny could sit down and watch this.
Yeah, it's kind of like all crowd pleasers to be like, this is just good for everyone.
Yeah, like, the Venn diagram of people in the world who enjoy this movie is a circle, like.
Which is interesting, because I would say, like, Home Alone 2 has, like, is more skewed towards the kids, but you would think the movie about Muppets is more, like, kid-facing.
Yeah. Yeah, and even like the more recent Muppets movie that came out, that felt like it was skewed younger.
Yeah.
Whereas this is for all ages.
So then after the Marley's visit, they tell him he's going to get visited by three ghosts throughout the night.
Yeah.
And they're going to... And so the first ghost is obviously the small
ghost
child.
Doll. Yeah.
Weird ghost doll lady. And she and him go flying. And there's a great cool... There's just a cool like... I don't want to say cheap effect, because I feel like that's insulting it, but I'm like, an effect clearly done on a budget, but done really well, is like the very bright light behind his curtain in the bed.
Yeah.
It's such a small thing that like, probably didn't cost that much money to get a big fucking bright light and shine it on the curtain, but it's just a really cool effect.
Yeah, and it's just a creative way to get around the problem of, oh, we can't show him travelling through time all that well,
So
let's just do it this way.
And so he goes back in time to his old school days and he just kind of sees himself as a child being just a fucking whinge little bitch, just non-stop doing sums.
Doing some, but he's also like, it's when it's a kid, like it's sad, you know, like you feel bad looking at him because he just has like no friends and not a great family by the sounds of things. Like
the bit is when he's like, there's John, he was my best friend, and in my head I'm like, you didn't have any friends.
Yeah, like it's I don't know, it's weirdly sad to think of Scrooge, miserable old man, as a young kid. But that's the same, I suppose, with any like, you know, old prick, they were all kids once.
And they were also probably a little prick.
They're probably a little prick, but sometimes they were nice and then they got turned into pricks.
Maybe there was a bigger prick that made them a big prick because they were a prick to them.
They're a prick by circumstance.
Prick
indeed.
By circumstance, as we know it in the business, yes.
An old PBC, as we say.
As we say all the time. And so then he goes to see his first job and there's the Fozziwig party, which I think is great.
Yeah.
Which is actually part of the story. The guy in the story, in the Dickens story, is Fozziwig?
Fizziwig.
Fizziwig, sorry. Yeah. Fizziwig. And that's Fozziwig, of
they're
course.
They're Fozzie Bear, so why not?
It's so fucking good. There's no need to go that hard.
Do you think they made that connection and then... decided to put this movie into production.
that was the only connection. You know what? They're that talented. They're like, yeah, fuck it. Let's do the whole movie.
Yeah, we can make it work.
Yeah, we will make it work. And so I just really like that scene where he's about to give the speech and they're like, and then you have the two brothers that are just like heckling him.
Yeah.
And he just gives this really short speech. Say, he's like, I just have to do my speech. Happy Christmas, everyone. And I hope you have a nice time. And then they're just like, it was terrible. It was ridiculous. It was short. It was amazing.
It's just really clever writing and like accurate to the show as well.
And this is where he meets his love, Belle.
Yeah.
And you see that the two of them fall madly in love almost immediately. Sean, you're thinking maybe this is it.
Surely this is going to last forever. This is going to be the one.
This is going to be the one. And then the very next scene that Christmas Past takes them to is them breaking up after several years. It's like showing that it's a few years into the future. And he's just very business focused. He has no time for her whatsoever.
Yeah. And it, like, that's even sadder than if they were like, oh, they were together a few months and then it didn't work. It's like, no, they made a go at it and it didn't work. It just kind of fell apart.
And that's when the really sad song of When Love Is Gone is played.
Yeah.
What's funny is I didn't have that song in my version. I watched the edited version.
You know the way you fast forward through Marley and Marley? I'm fast forwarding through When Love Is Gone because I can't do that at Christmas time anymore.
See, to be fair, the Disney chairman's like, kids aren't going to like that, but then let's have a whole song about hell.
Look. Yeah, let's have essentially the Grim Reaper show up at the end.
Yeah, the Grim Reaper's in the movie and he's like, let's not have a song about breakups though. I think he was going through a difficult time.
Maybe he was. Maybe Jeffrey's just having a bad time.
Take out the song about breakups, but not for me. But just because I think it's the kids. Kids might get sad.
Can one of the shops in the town be called Jeff Is Really Cool, please?
Just please,
Jeff, I'm not sure that would work with the tone of the... No, it's fine.
I'm the fucking Disney CEO, lads, right? We're doing it.
And he just starts like writing lower and lower checks. It's like, and 12 million.
And so, yeah, then you have that breakup scene, which is obviously incredibly sad. It makes sense why Rizzo and Gonzo are crying at the end of it. Also, throughout this whole thing, Gonzo and they're constantly just, like, it keeps cutting back to them, and they always just have really entertaining bits where, like, something happens and they just have to solve it, or, like, Rizzo, like, can't get over the fence, so he has to climb up and then leaps and nearly kills himself, then just walks underneath it.
Yeah, I think that's good as well for, like, the younger kids who are in the audience, because it's like, okay, here's all this, like, you know, personal, character-driven story about a man who loses himself and loses love. But then, the rat is doing something funny.
The rat's tail is on fire. Now he's made of ice. Now let's beat him off a table.
Yeah, so it's just like, it keeps it... It's kind of like beats in between all the drama, where you suddenly remember, oh no, this is a Muppets movie at the end.
I do also like that he pushes him into the bucket of ice, and then the next scene is like just a full block of ice, and when he saves him, he's like, I guess I should thank you for that, but like, you did push me in.
Yeah. So what can I really do?
You did set me on fire and then push me into the ice. So I technically wouldn't be there if it wasn't for you, but thank you, I suppose.
It's like you stabbed me and then stitched up the wound. Like, I'm grateful.
And so then he goes back to the bed, and ghost number two shows up. Sean,
we got best friend
yourself shows up. Your ginger brother shows up, this is the ghost of Christmas present. And I just feel like they do a really good job of just humanizing Scrooge almost immediately after he sees all the sad stuff, because even like the dumb joke he makes with the ghost of Christmas present about like the brothers and sisters.
Oh, he's like, I've had 1,800 of my brothers have been before me. And
yeah.
Scrooge's like, imagine how much it must cost to feed them or some shit
that. It's a really terrible joke, right? But it's the first joke Scrooge makes all day.
Yeah.
But then what makes it more enjoyable is that the ghost of the Christmas present bursts out laughing. Like, it's the funniest thing he's ever heard, because he's like, he's breaking down barriers. Let's just be laughing at him, because he just wants friends.
He's making an effort. Like, yeah, it's the first, like, attempt at connection that we've seen Scrooge make at this point.
And the ghost number two is really nice, and so he's just like, yeah, let's fucking, I'm just going to have a laugh at that dumb joke. let's do this.
It's like, let's enjoy all the time I have.
So we still have some sad scenes to follow, though, because then the ghost takes him to, like, his nephew's Christmas party, and they're like, an unwanted animal at Christmas. Who could it be? They're playing a guessing game. And the answer is Scrooge. And it's actually, it gets more heartbreaking as he gets happier, are like nicer, and you see how the world perceives him.
Yeah, and like he has to see that to understand the way he's acting, kind of. But yeah. It is sad because he is just happy to see the games being played and stuff, and then it's like he realizes, oh, I'm the beast at Christmas.
Yeah, and so then we have the Christmas. This is actually the introduction of Tiny Tim. That they go to the house, and you have, I'm going to say Kermit, just bear with me, and Tiny Tim. They're coming their way. They're on their way home, and they're having a sing song. And it's just a really lovely moment. And Tiny Tim's the cutest little child ever, and I would die for him.
Absolutely. But I would kill for him as well.
I would kill anyone for him. But
I'll fight any man or child.
And I mean, it's just a really also introduction of Miss Piggy in a Muppets movie, like 39 minutes in, which is crazy.
Yeah, I feel like Miss Piggy is such a specific character that I feel you need to like get people bought in on the movie before you really like let her loose.
Because she's like so like
That's a really good Miss Piggy.
Thank you, I've been working on it. Also the daughters are very funny because they're constantly doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, it's so silly, but also it's heartwarming to watch because you're like, oh, it's harmless fun. Let's just make some silly jokes, why not?
Yeah, and Scrooge is like incredulous as well about how the Cratchits live and like how Tiny Tim is still alive.
Yeah.
He's just like, but what's the food? What's happening with the boy? What's going on with him?
He doesn't understand. There's other people and they might not be as well off. I don't understand what's happening.
He pays his wages.
Yeah. And then they have the song, Wherever You Find Love, You'll Find Chris. So I think originally When Love Is Gone is meant to then be followed by Wherever You Find Love.
Yeah.
So it's like a 1-2 punch.
So Scrooge had this instance of lost love, but that's not the only love that there is. That's not the only love that a man can find, Ebenezer.
Mm. And then, of course, you have Bob Cratchit is like, the founder of the feast, Scrooge, let's thank him. And Miss Piggy's like, nah, man, he's a fucking dickhead.
But Bob Cratchit's like, no, come on, come on.
And then Tiny Tim has to sing a song of bless his one and all because he's just the cutest little boy in the whole world.
It's the cutest song you've ever heard.
Fuck! He'd win American Idol in seconds.
In a fucking heartbeat.
In a heart, just
but only if he's the frog, not if he's like a human.
No, I don't care about the human, but if he comes out in a frog with a crutch, I'm voting for him, Sean. I don't even live in America.
And this is where I think Ebenezer Scrooge decides, I am going to save this child's life.
This one child. I will kill every other child to save this child.
And I have killed many children.
I've killed before, and I'll kill again.
There's a thing, sorry, earlier on when Marley and Marley was happening, there's a thing where like they demolished the orphanage or something, and they just left the kids outside to get frostbite.
They're just like, I just love the fact that they're just like the biggest bastards.
Yeah, they're just cartoonishly evil.
Like just every bad thing that you could ever do, they've done.
Yeah.
And they just laughed while they were doing it. So I mean, like, why not? I think it's perfect because they're meant to be like, they're just three Hitlers walking around just being like the worst people ever to live. And this is the one time Scrooge is like, actually, am I the baddies?
Am I the problem?
As T Swizzle would say, am I the problem?
That's the lyrics. This is why I like the Ghost of Christmas Present as much as well, is that he's like visibly decaying as the night goes on.
Yeah. Like, and the Muppet, the costume and the design on the puppet is so good.
Yeah. So like he starts off this big, massive, like redhead, full of energy, and then by the end of it, he's smaller, he's like a graying, older man, and he's also a Muppet. And he's like, no, Christmas only that's why he's 1800 brothers. Christmas only lasts a certain time. The present only lasts a certain time, and then it's gone. And then all you have is the future, Connor.
But then the future becomes the present.
But then the present becomes your past.
So ultimately, we're all slowly edging towards death.
Thank God, is what I said.
But I'll kill for Tiny Tim.
He's going to get everyone's ears.
He's not edging towards death in my book.
He's immortal. He's an immortal being.
Edging towards life.
He's immortal, but he's also always perpetually sick, so it's really kind of a curse.
It's a weird niche that he falls into. He's coffin, but he's okay.
Yeah, but he's not in a coffin, you know?
No. Well, he could be in a coffin, but like it's not closed. He's just like trying it out. He's maybe having a sleep. And he could be coffin in the coffin.
They wouldn't size up a coffin on the kid, would they?
Well, I mean, well, you don't have to size it up. Maybe it's a big one. Maybe he's just having a bit of fun.
You telling me the Cratchits are going to spring for a big coffin for that kid?
Yeah, giant one.
No. My coffin is going to be made out of wicker. So
is it?
Yeah, so it'll easily biodegrade. No, actually, I'm going to be fired into space so I can live on the sun.
I was thinking fired into space for you, actually.
Yeah, it's the only safe place for me.
Do you want me to say a few words, or will I just leave it?
I want you to do it, but I want you to treat it like a podcast.
So I'll have like an opening.
What is going on, everybody?
Yeah, what is going on, everybody? I'm joined as... Oh, my God!
Oh, tears. Love it.
What I'll do is
You're doing my eulogy, but you keep trying to throw it to me. You keep gesturing towards the coffin.
Just like nodding. Just like, geez, he's very fucking quiet today. Fuck me.
He's giving me nothing. What is this?
I'm getting actually nothing from him. It's like blood from a stone here, lads. This is actually terrible.
My family.
We're going to get
go
no download, Sean. Pick it up. It's like I'm like slowly edging, like talking outside the side of my mouth, like, dude, come on. We're in front of a crowd.
It's our first live show.
In my head, it's like an autograph signing.
All you're these people wearing are merch.
Your family just looking at like so disapprovingly, like this fucking dick.
I know he's his best friend. Did we have to invite him though?
Why did he set up the stand in the church?
He set up a booth.
And he said he didn't even have any change. So he was just taking people's 20s.
But the shirts only cost 16 quid or something. They're all change.
€4 profit every time.
Every time we've been swindled.
Oh, man. So, sadly, goes to prison. And I don't want to say Sean, because I'm not putting that into the universe, Sean.
Thanks.
But thanks, also Sean. Don't die.
It's win-win.
See, I know you. Yeah. I knew throwing that out there, you'd actually like that.
That's the thing. That's the bit I've got going on. By the way. Don't
just
worry.
Everyone, he's grand.
Happy Christmas.
It's just the bit. Happy Christmas. Everybody knows it's a wonderful life. Right, think of that movie.
Yeah, I love the first half of It's a Wonderful.
Oh, that movie, that first hour of that movie, fucking unreal. Savage. It's unreal. Like, I'm like, that's me. Look at that. But then we got the ghost. Ironically, we now have the ghost of Christmas Present, who's the Grim Reaper.
Christmas really yet great, to come is the Grim Reaper.
Sorry, Christmas yet to come. And you also have a really great scene in a cemetery with like all the fog.
Yeah.
And it's just fucking creepy.
Michael Caine acting the shit out of it.
Oh, I have it written down here. This is Michael Caine just going all out.
Yeah. I feel like this is either like the very first day of shooting or the very last day of shooting. Where they're just like, no, just leave it all. Like, do everything you can. Give as much as possible.
Yeah. And they go to Bob Cratchit's house and Tiny Tim isn't there. This is like... And his little stick is on a stool with his little hat and his little scarf. Of course it is.
He's fine. He's just running somewhere.
He learned to walk again. He's in the bathroom.
And it's really sad. Like, it's genuinely heartbreaking. Yeah. Look at.
And, like, obviously Scrooge, he's heartbroken. We're heartbroken. And then they go back to the cemetery and he goes to his own grave because he's been hearing people talk about, like, they're so glad that somebody's dead. And what's great is this ghost doesn't talk. So he's constantly like, who are they talking about?
Yeah.
Like, who are they... And then, of course, like, he knows who they're talking about, but he can't bring himself to think it's him. And then, until eventually the ghost just points to the grave, really fucking creepy. And he has to go over, and it's just really well shot that, like, he wipes all the snow off it and it's his name, and that's the big reveal, to be like, they're all happy that you're dead because you're a bastard.
And, like, he knew this. Like, he knew that, he knew in his heart that it was him the whole time. But then he's immediately like, okay, is this set in stone or can I change this?
By the way, just, I really want to reiterate again, Michael Caine is like Oscar-worthy performance.
Was he nominated for anything for this? Because he should have been.
This scene alone is so good. He's like talking to probably nothing. And he's just full on crying. He's like, does this mean it's set in stone? Can I change it? And you're like fully involved in this man in a Muppet movie.
And like in this moment where he's like, can I, like, because you think it might just be selfish, but he's also like, does Tiny Tim have to die?
Oh, God. Oh man, watching this, you're just like, Michael Caine, top three actors of all time, just watching this. And then like this performance alone, this man is set for life. He can do no wrong if he does this.
Yeah, that's all he needs to do.
And like, also I found out today doing research, Michael Caine, 89 years old.
Wow. Fucking killing it, isn't he?
He's still going. Fair folks to
him. He must just really like acting.
I just think he's really good at it. He's just like, he probably just has fun doing it. Just like, also he's Sir Michael Caine, so he can kind of do whatever he wants.
That's true. I wonder what his like next big thing will be. Probably something. Is he an Oppenheimer?
I was actually about to say, is he an Oppenheimer with Christopher Nolan? He probably is.
We might talk about this on movie the next time we do a Movie Mondays, because I think we're taking a break for a while. But. Did you hear Christopher Nolan recreated an atomic glass? The man is like,
I don't want to pay for the CGI, so I'm just going to set off my own nuclear bomb.
Put off 44 tons of TNT or some shit.
We won't get to the DC news that came out this week, unfortunately.
Or the Spider-Verse trailer that came out this week.
Or the Spider-Verse trailer, but just know it's great.
Here's my rough thoughts, okay? Christopher Nolan explosion. Pretty cool, the man's insane. Spider-Verse trailer looks class. DC news, sad about a lot of it, but glad that they're rebooting it. Justice for Henry Cavill. There we go.
But Henry Cavill, give him a Warhammer movie, he fucking deserves it.
Fucking please.
Okay. he would do it in a heartbeat.
He would do it for free. He would actually do it for free.
He actually probably would.
Yeah.
So he eventually Scrooge goes back to his house, and you have the great scene where he wakes up Christmas morning and he's like, you there, boy, what day is it? Well, today is Christmas, sir. And he's like, I haven't missed it. It's still here. And you just feel, and like also they shoot it now in a way that all the colour's back. Like all the colour is so much brighter.
Yeah, I didn't realise how desaturated it was, like around the street.
Yeah, they desaturated on purpose.
Until Scrooge learns his lesson and he sees the joy and wonder in the world.
Yeah, and then everything is so bright and colourful. And he goes out into the street and he's like, let's buy the biggest turkey we can find, get all the food we can. He goes, he gives everyone, all the rats, coal, which seems bad, but they asked for coal.
Yeah, they wanted coal. This isn't a coal is bad kind of thing.
No, coal is like they want to fuel the fire.
It's the 1800s. Coal is the best fucking thing you can have.
Boys, that's the best present you want, lad. I mean,
no impact at all on anything.
My teeth are black.
When he goes to the Cratchit's house, I admire the shithousery that he pulls.
He does the Bob Cratchit, get out here.
Yeah, how dare you? You said I could have half a day's work.
And I also admire Miss Piggy, ready to fucking deck him.
Absolutely ready to go. Just like, finally, he's on my turf.
And she's about to like knock him out and put her foot through his arse.
Yeah. But then he's like, the only option is to give you a raise. And everyone's like, what?
I think he said he's going to give him a raise and pay off the mortgage on the house.
Yeah, which is like a pretty good Christmas present, to be honest.
That's actually not bad. Bad.
I would also like a month's rent.
A month? Why not ask for six?
Different time, Connor. Different time. Probably 50 pence a month, that house.
Yeah, probably. And so he eventually sits down. There's a great, it's just a great scene where like he's on level terms. Tiny Tim is beside him. He's laughing and joking. Everything's just lovely. Everyone's now kind and lovely, and it's just a great scene. And I just love Christmas, Sean. Just think it's a heartwarming moment.
Beautiful time of the year. They have a massive feast. That food looks delicious, by the way.
I mean, it's probably all fake, but yeah, it looks delicious.
It has to sit under hot studio lights for hours at a time. I hope it's fake.
That chicken is rough if it's not stinking.
And then they have a lovely little sing-song at the end about how all the magic and love in the world.
Yeah. It's fucking great.
It's really good. It's really good. Can't believe I waited 20-something-odd years to see it.
This movie is so good. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. I don't think we're doing it justice, but if you have seen it, you know exactly what we're talking about, because it's fucking great.
Yeah, because I think a lot of the enjoyment for this as well comes from the fact that you're watching it and you're like, this is really good. And then you remember it's Muppets.
You have to keep reminding yourself.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is Muppets.
Because you genuinely just get lost and being like, oh, class, unreal, good story.
Because Michael Caine like grabs you and he's like, come with me on this performance, here we go.
I think he's, as we said at the start, he is the linchpin, I think, that holds this together as such a good movie. Because you're with him basically the whole time.
Yeah, and Brian Henson kills it as the director as well. Like, really great. He directed it. Jerry Jewell wrote the screenplay for it. So I just, like, also the music is by Miles Goodman, who did the music in this.
He's a very good man.
Fucking great stuff. But I always find we don't have as much to talk about when the movie's fucking amazing.
Exactly, yeah.
It's always much more like, there's so much more content when the movie's shit that we can kind of shit on scenes. But if every scene is great, what can we do? Well, also, it's a Muppets movie, so like...
Yeah, it's a combination of like, it's a really good movie, it's a Muppets movie. It's also a story that everyone pretty well knows. So like, there's not a whole lot of delving or exploration we can do. Mainly just singing the praises, I think, is this. Like, I think the Turbo review is longer than this.
I think so. I wanted to finish the episode on one final quote from Michael Caine that he said to Brian Henson. He said, I will never wink. I will never do anything Muppety. I am going to play Scrooge as if it is an utterly dramatic role and there are no puppets around me. To which Brian Henson apparently replied, bang on.
That's perfect. That's what we want.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, I don't really have anything else to say other than go watch it if you haven't seen it.
Please go watch it. And, you know, maybe watch it with the family at Christmas or just in the festive season, whatever you celebrate. It's still a good movie, still a good story.
Yeah.
It's a classic for a reason, guys.
Do you want to take us out, Sean?
Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this very special Movie Mondays. We kind of alluded
also
to
Patreon.
Also Patreon. Also it's a double release. It's a double feature.
It's weird to do an intro and outro to two separate shows simultaneously. I'm not quite sure.
Look, we're the podcast that can do it, I'm sure. But we are going to be taking a bit of a break over Christmas. So the way it's going to work is that this is coming out on the 19th. We will have a show on Wednesday and Friday, but we're going to be off from the 26th until the new year. So just to, you know, spend time with family and stuff.
And you know what that follow Wednesday is, Sean?
What's that following Wednesday, Connor?
Top 10 weird news stories of 2022.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Does anyone want to edit that for me, please?
We got to get votes. So I'm going to start putting up stories in a big massive poll to the patrons and you all get to vote.
And you get it, your vote will rank higher if you give me an exact time code of where it shows up.
No,
in the
I'll give you the time
please.
Code. You just need to pick the story.
Nah, it's still too much effort, isn't it? But no, that'll be posted up on all of our socials and everywhere that we can contact you. That Weird News Review will be up, and that'll be something we put out then at the end of the year / start of the next. But big thank you to all of the patrons. Patrons get a movie review every month, as we said. We put this one out as a little Christmas gift for everyone. But shout outs go to Roisin the Wife Palmer, Joe Burney, Ryan Technically Fine Evanson. All Waffles Wants for Christmas is for you to listen to their podcast, Waffles and Mario Talk About Things. David Clark, Sean Chuckin' in the Wash and It'll Be Grand Jameson, Dominic, Anna Irish Walrus Forever, Hjelm Roos, Danny McLaughlin, no one's ever really gone Luke Hoth, Lord Smish, Michelle Brown, Michaela Doughty, Buster, Ed Ball, Nathaniel Thistlewaite, Horatio Rowland, Bumfluff Jr. III. Connor and Lorraine are really quite embarrassed about all this nickname shithousery and hope Sean can find it in his heart to forgive them. You're fucking pushing it now, lads. Oh, and it continues. Russ, Sean, I honestly can't believe you only think this is happening just to annoy you. That's just a happy coincidence, parfait. And Jackson Bruheim, thanks everyone equally for the lovely support on Patreon.
Oh, that cracks me up.
It's there's a little crew of mischief makers.
And you know what? I feel like I'm fueling it by having a little giggle at your expense.
Oh, absolutely. You're making it worse for everyone involved, everyone being me. But no, thanks everyone seriously for the support. Thanks for sticking with us for the whole year. Really appreciate you. People that joined this year, people that have been patrons for ages, we genuinely couldn't do the show without you. So thank you all very, very much. Head on over to the Patreon if you want to support the show. There is also the merch store, heroesforhire.ie/shop. Twitter's at heroesforhirepod. The 4 is the number 4. Facebook is Detective Devilman's Discussion Group. Instagram is Heroes for Hire Podcast. And the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just a one, please.
And I think that's about it, Connor.
Hope everyone has a lovely Christmas. I have been Connor Lawler.
And God blesses everyone. I've been Sean Hain.
I love you, Tiny Tim. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.